Chapter 14. Mini Retirements: Embracing the Mobile Lifestyle. Before the development of tourism, travel was conceived to be like study, and its fruits were considered to be the adornment of the mind and the formation of the judgment. Paul Fussell, Abroad. The simple willingness to improvise is more vital in the long run than research. Rolf Potts, Vagabonding. Upon Sherwood's return from Oktoberfest, dazed from killing neurons but the happiest he's been in 4 years, the remote trial is made policy, and Sherwood is inducted into the world of the new rich. All he needs now is an idea of how to exploit this freedom and the tools to give his finite cash near-infinite lifestyle output. If you've gone through the previous steps, eliminating, automating, and severing the leashes that bind you to one location, it's time to indulge in some fantasies and explore the world. Even if you have no ache for extended travel or think it's impossible, whether due to marriage or mortgage or those little things known as children, this chapter is still the next step. There are fundamental changes I and most others put off until absence, or preparation for it, forces them. This chapter is your final exam in Muse Design. The transformation begins in a small Mexican village. Fables and Fortune Hunters. An American businessman took a vacation to a small coastal Mexican village on doctor's orders. Unable to sleep after an urgent phone call from the office the first morning, he walked out to the pier to clear his head. A small boat with just one fisherman had docked, and inside the boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The American complimented the Mexican on the quality of his fish. "How long did it take you to catch them?" the American asked.
"Only a little while," the Mexican replied in surprisingly good English.
"Why don't you stay out longer and catch more fish?" the American then asked.
"I have enough to support my family and give a few to friends," the Mexican said as he unloaded them into a basket.
"But what do you do with the rest of your time?" The Mexican looked up and smiled.
"I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take a siesta with my wife Julia, and stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life, senor."
The American laughed and stood tall. "Sir, I'm a Harvard MBA and can help you. You should spend more time fishing and with the proceeds buy a bigger boat. In no time you could buy several boats with the increased haul. Eventually you would have a fleet of fishing boats." He continued, "Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you would sell directly to the consumers, eventually opening your own cannery. You would control the product, processing, and distribution. You would need to leave this small coastal fishing village, of course, and move to Mexico City, then to Los Angeles, and eventually New York City, where you could run your expanding enterprise with proper management." The Mexican fisherman asked,
"But, senor, how long will all this take?"
To which the American replied, 15, 20 years, 25 tops."
"But what then, senor?"
The American laughed and said, "That's the best part. When the time is right, you would announce an IPO and sell your company's stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions."
"Millions, senor? Then what?"
"Then you would retire and move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take a siesta with your wife, and stroll to the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play your guitar with your amigos." I recently had lunch in San Francisco with a good friend and former college roommate. He will soon graduate from a top business school and return to investment banking. He hates coming home from the office at midnight, but explained to me that if he works 80-hour weeks for 9 years, he could become a managing director and make a cool $3 to $10 million per year. Then he would be successful.
"Dude, what on earth would you do with $3 to $10 million per year?" I asked.
His answer?
"I would take a long trip to Thailand."
That just about sums up one of the biggest self-deceptions of our modern age, extended world travel as the domain of the ultra-rich. I've also heard the following: "I'll just work in the firm for 15 years, then I'll be partner and I can cut back on hours. Once I have a million in the bank, I'll put it in something safe like bonds, take $80,000 a year in interest, and retire to sail in the Caribbean. I'll only work in consulting until I'm 35, then retire and ride a motorcycle across China.
If your dream, the pot of gold at the end of the career rainbow, is to live large in Thailand, sail around the Caribbean, or ride a motorcycle across China, guess what? All of them can be done for less than $3,000. I've done all three. Here are just two examples of how far a little can go. The dollar figures in this chapter are all from a period immediately following President Bush's re-election in 2004, which correlated to the worst dollar exchange rates of the last 20 years. $250 U.S. 5 days on a private Smithsonian tropical research island with three local fishermen who caught and cooked all my food and also took me on tours of the best hidden dive spots in Panama. $150 U.S. 3 days of chartering a private plane in Mendoza wine country in Argentina and flying over the most beautiful vineyards around the snow-capped Andes with a personal guide. Question. What did you spend your last $400 on? It's two or three weekends of nonsense and throwaway forget-the-work-week behavior in most cities. $400 is nothing for a full 8 days of life-changing experiences. But 8 days isn't what I'm recommending at all. Those were just interludes in a much larger production. I'm proposing much, much more. The birth of mini-retirements and the death of vacations. There is more to life than increasing its speed. Mohandas Gandhi. In February of 2004, I was miserable and overworked. My travel fantasy began as a plan to visit Costa Rica in March 2004 for 4 weeks of Spanish and relaxation. I needed a recharge, and 4 weeks seemed reasonable by whatever cockamamie benchmark you can use for such a thing. A friend familiar with Central America dutifully pointed out that it would never work, as Costa Rica was about to enter its rainy season. Torrential downpours weren't the uplifting jolt I needed, so I shifted my focus to 4 weeks in Spain. It's a long trip over the Atlantic, though, and Spain was close to other countries I'd always wanted to visit. I lost reasonable somewhere shortly thereafter, and decided that I deserved a full 3 months to explore my roots in Scandinavia after 4 weeks in Spain. If there were any real time bombs or pending disasters, they would certainly crop up in the first 4 weeks, so there really wasn't any additional risk in extending my trip to 3 months. 3 months would be great. Those 3 months turned into 15, and I started to ask myself, why not take the usual 20 to 30 year retirement and redistribute it throughout life instead of saving it all for the end? The alternative to binge traveling. Thanks to the interstate highway system, it is now possible to travel from coast to coast without seeing anything. Charles Curalt, CBS News reporter. If you are accustomed to working 50 weeks per year, the tendency, even after creating the mobility to take extended trips, will be to go nuts and see 10 countries in 14 days and end up a wreck. It's like taking a starving dog to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It will eat itself to death. I did this 3 months into my 15-month vision quest, visiting 7 countries and going through at least 20 check-ins and check-outs with a friend who had negotiated 3 weeks off. The trip was an adrenaline-packed blast, but like watching life on fast forward. It was hard for us to remember what had happened in which countries, except Amsterdam. I refer, of course, to the amazing bike riding opportunities and famous pastries. We were both sick most of the time, and we were upset to have to leave some places simply because our pre-purchased flights made it so. I recommend doing the exact opposite. The alternative to binge travel, the mini-retirement, entails relocating to one place for 1 to 6 months before going home or moving to another locale. It is the anti-vacation in the most positive sense. Though it can be relaxing, the mini-retirement is not an escape from your life, but a re-examination of it, the creation of a blank slate. Following elimination and automation, what would you be escaping from? Rather than seeking to see the world through photo ops in between foreign but familiar hotels, we aim to experience it at a speed that lets it change us. This is also different from a sabbatical. Sabbaticals are often viewed much like retirement, as a one-time event. Savor it now while you can. The mini-retirement is defined as recurring. It is a lifestyle. I currently take 3 or 4 mini-retirements per year and know dozens who do the same. Purging the demons. Emotional freedom. This is the very perfection of a man to find out his own imperfection. St. Augustine, 354 A.D. to 430 A.D. True freedom is much more than having enough income and time to do what you want. It is quite possible, actually the rule rather than the exception, to have financial and time freedom but still be caught in the throes of the rat race. One cannot be free from the stresses of a speed and size-obsessed culture until you are free from the materialistic addictions, time-famine mindset, and comparative impulses that created it in the first place. This takes time. The effect is not cumulative and no number of two-week, also called two-week, sightseeing trips can replace one good walkabout. By all means, go ahead and take a post office celebratory trip and go nuts for a few weeks. I know I did. Rock on. Ibiza and glow sticks, here I come. Have some absinthe and drink lots of water. Following that, sit down and plan a real mini-retirement. In the experience of those I've interviewed, it takes 2 to 3 months just to unplug from obsolete routines and become aware of just how much we distract ourselves with constant motion. Can you have a 2-hour dinner with Spanish friends without getting anxious? Can you get accustomed to a small town where all businesses take a siesta for 2 hours in the afternoon and then close at 4 p.m.? If not, you need to ask why. Learn to slow down. Get lost intentionally. Observe how you judge both yourself and those around you. Chances are that it's been a while. Take at least 2 months to disincorporate old habits and rediscover yourself without the reminder of a looming return flight. The financial realities. It just gets better. The economic argument for mini-retirements is the icing on the cake. 4 days in a decent hotel or a week or two at a nice hostel costs the same as a month in a nice posh apartment. If you relocate, the expenses abroad also begin to replace, often at much lower cost, bills you can then cancel stateside. Here are some actual monthly figures from recent travels. Highlights from both South America and Europe are shown side by side to prove that luxury is limited by your creativity and familiarity with the locale, not gross currency devaluation in third world countries. It will be obvious that I did not survive on bread and begging. I lived like a rock star, and both experiences could be done for less than 50% of what I spent. My goal was enjoyment and not austere survival. Airfare. Free. Courtesy of Amex Gold Card and Chase Continental Airlines MasterCard. Muses are low maintenance but often expensive in one or both of two tactical areas, manufacturing and advertising. Shop for providers of both that are willing to accept credit cards as payment and negotiate this up front if necessary by saying, rather than trying to negotiate you down on pricing, I just ask that you accept payment by credit card. If you can do that, we'll choose you over competitor X. This is yet another example of a firm offer and not a question that puts you in a stronger negotiating position. For a detailed explanation of how I multiply points for travel using concepts like piggybacking and recycling, log on to www.4hourworkweek.com. Housing. Penthouse apartment on the equivalent of New York's Fifth Avenue in Buenos Aires, including house cleaners, personal security guards, phone, energy, and high-speed internet, $550 U.S. per month. Enormous apartment in the trendy Soho-like Prenzlauer Berg district of Berlin, including phone and energy, $300 U.S. per month. Meals. 4 or 5-star restaurant meals twice daily in Buenos Aires, $10 U.S., $300 U.S. per month. Berlin, $18 U.S., $540 U.S. per month. Entertainment. VIP table and unlimited champagne for 8 people at the hottest club, Opera Bay in Buenos Aires, $150 U.S., $18.75 U.S. per person, times 4 visits per month, equals $75 U.S. per month per person. Cover, drinks, and dancing at the hottest clubs in West Berlin, $20 U.S. per person per night, times 4, equals $80 U.S. per month. Education. 2 hours daily of private Spanish lessons in Buenos Aires, 5 times per week, $5 U.S. per hour, times 40 hours per month, equals $200 U.S. per month. 2 hours of daily private tango lessons with 2 world-class professional dancers, $8.33 U.S. per hour, times 40 hours per month, $333.20 U.S. per month. 4 hours daily of top-tier German language instruction in Nollendorfplatz, Berlin, $175 U.S. per month, which would have paid for itself even if I had not attended classes, as the student ID card entitled me to over 40% discounts on all transportation. 6 hours per week of mixed martial arts, MMA, training at the top Berlin Academy, free in exchange for tutoring in English 2 hours per week. Transportation. Monthly subway pass and daily cab rides to and from tango lessons in Buenos Aires, $75 U.S. per month. Monthly subway, tram, and bus pass in Berlin with student discount, $85 U.S. per month. 4 week total for luxury living. Buenos Aires, $1,533.20, including round-trip airfare from JFK with a one-month stopover in Panama. Nearly one-third of this total is from the daily one-on-one instruction from world-class teachers in Spanish and tango. Berlin, $1,180, including round-trip airfare from JFK and a one-week stopover in London. How do these numbers compare to your current domestic monthly expenses, including rent, car insurance, utilities, weekend expenditures, partying, public transportation, gas, memberships, subscriptions, food, and all the rest? Add it all up, and you may well realize, like I did, that traveling around the world and having the time of your life can save you serious money. Fear factors. Overcoming excuses not to travel. Traveling is the ruin of all happiness. There is no looking at a building here after seeing Italy. Fanny Burney, 1752-1840, English novelist. But I have a house and kids. I can't travel. What about health insurance? What if something happens? Isn't travel dangerous? What if I get kidnapped or mugged? But I'm a woman. Traveling alone would be dangerous. Most excuses not to travel are exactly that, excuses. I've been there, so this isn't a holier-than-thou sermon. I know too well that it's easier to live with ourselves if we can cite an external reason for inaction. I've since met paraplegics and the deaf, senior citizens and single mothers, homeowners and the poor, all of whom have sought and found excellent, life-changing reasons for extended travel instead of dwelling on the million small reasons against it. Most of the concerns above are addressed in the Q&A, but one in particular requires a bit of preemptive nerve calming. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? The prime fear of all parents prior to their first international trip is somehow losing a child in the shuffle. The good news is that if you are comfortable taking your kids to New York, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., or London, you will have even less to worry about in the starting cities I recommend in the Q&A. There are fewer guns and violent crimes in all of them compared to most large U.S. cities. The likelihood of problems is decreased further when travel is less airport and hotel hopping among strangers and more relocation to a second home, a mini-retirement. But still, what if? Jen Errico, a single mother who took her two children on a 5-month world tour, had a more acute fear than most, one that often woke her at 2 a.m. in a cold sweat. What if something happens to me? She wanted to prime her kids for worst-case scenario, but didn't want to scare them to death, so, like all good mothers, she made it a game. Who can best memorize the itineraries, hotel, addresses, and mom's phone number? She had emergency contacts in each country whose numbers were loaded into the speed dial of her cell phone, which had global roaming. In the end, nothing happened. Now she's planning to move to a ski chalet in Europe and send her kids to school in multilingual France. Success begets success. She was most afraid in Singapore, and in retrospect, it was where she had the least reason to be worried. She took her kids to South Africa, among other places. She was scared because it was the first stop and she was unaccustomed to traveling with her kids. It was perception, not reality. Robin Malinsky Rummel, who spent a year traveling through South America with her husband and 7-year-old son, was warned by friends and family not to visit Argentina after their devaluation riots in 2001. She did her homework, decided that the fear was unfounded, and proceeded to have the time of her life in Patagonia. When she told locals that she was originally from New York, their eyes widened and jaws dropped. "I saw those buildings blow up on TV. I would never go to such a dangerous place." Don't assume that places abroad are more dangerous than your hometown. Most aren't. Robin is convinced, as I am, that people use children as an excuse to stay in their comfort zones. It's an easy excuse not to do something adventurous. How to overcome the fear? Robin recommends two things. One, Before embarking on a long international trip with your children for the first time, take a trial run for a few weeks. 2. For each stop, arrange a week of language classes that begin upon arrival and take advantage of transportation from the airport if available. The school staff will often handle apartment rentals for you, and you will be able to make friends and learn the area before setting off on your own. But what if your concern isn't so much losing your children, but losing your mind because of your children? Several families interviewed for this book recommended the oldest persuasive tool known to man, bribery. Each child is given some amount of virtual cash, 25 to 50 cents, for each hour of good behavior. The same amount is subtracted from their accounts for breaking the rules. All purchases for fun, whether souvenirs, ice cream, or otherwise, come out of their own individual accounts. No balance, no goodies. This often requires more self-control on the part of the parents than the children. How to get airfare at 50 to 80% off. This is not a book on budget travel. Most of the cost-cutting recommendations found in such guides are designed with the binge traveler in mind. For someone embarking on a mini-retirement, an extra $150 for hassle-free airfare, amortized over 2 months, is a better deal than 20 hours of manipulating frequent flyer points on an unknown airline or chasing questionable deals. Following 2 weeks of research, I once bought a one-way standby ticket to Europe for $120. I arrived at JFK brimming with enthusiasm and confidence. Look at all these schmucks paying retail. And 90% of the participating airlines refused my ticket. Those that didn't were booked for weeks solid. I ended up staying in a hotel for 2 nights for a $300 tab, filing a complaint with Amex, and eventually calling 1-800-FLY-EUROPE from the JFK terminal in frustration. I bought a round-trip ticket to London on Virgin Atlantic for $300 and left an hour later. The same ticket cost more than $700 a week earlier. After 25 countries, I found a few simple strategies that get you 90% of the possible savings without wasting time or producing migraines. 1. Use credit cards with reward points for large muse-related advertising and manufacturing expenses. I am not spending more money to get pennies on the dollar. These costs are inevitable, so I capitalize on them. This alone gets me a free round-trip international ticket each 3 months. 2. Purchase tickets far in advance, 3 months or more, or last minute, and aim for both departure and return between Tuesday and Thursday. Long-term travel planning turns me off and can be expensive if plans change, so I opt for purchasing all tickets in the last 4 or 5 days prior to target departure. The value of empty seats is $0 as soon as the flight takes off, so true last-minute seats are cheap. Use Orbitz, www.orbitz.com, first. Fix the departure and return dates between Tuesday and Thursday. Then look at prices for alternative departure dates each of the 3 days into the past and each of the 3 days into the future. Using the cheapest departure date, do the same with the return dates to find the cheapest combination. Check this price against the fares on the website of the airline itself. Then begin bidding on www.priceline.com at 50% of the better of the two, working up in $50 increments until you get a better price or realize it's not possible. 3. Consider buying one ticket to an international hub and then an ongoing ticket with a cheap local airline. If going to Europe, I generally get 3 tickets. 1 free Southwest ticket from transferring Amex points from California to JFK, the cheapest ticket to Heathrow in London, and then an uber-cheap ticket on either Ryanair or EasyJet to my final destination. I have paid as little as $10 to go from London to Berlin or London to Spain. That is not a typo. Local airlines will often offer seats on flights for just the cost of taxes and gasoline. To Central or South American destinations, I'll often look at local flights from Panama or international flights from Miami. When more is less. Cutting the clutter. Human beings have the capacity to learn to want almost any conceivable material object. Given, then, the emergence of a modern industrial culture capable of producing almost anything, the time is ripe for opening the storehouse of infinite need. It is the modern Pandora's box, and its plagues are loose upon the world. Jules Henry. To be free, to be happy and fruitful, can only be attained through sacrifice of many common but overestimated things. Robert Henry. I know the son of one deca-millionaire, a personal friend of Bill Gates, who now manages private investments and ranches. He has accumulated an assortment of beautiful homes over the last decade, each with full-time cooks, servants, cleaners, and support staff. How does he feel about having a home in each time zone? It's a pain in the ass. He feels like he's working for his staff, who spend more time in his homes than he does. Extended travel is the perfect excuse to reverse the damage of years of consuming as much as you can afford. It's time to get rid of clutter disguised as necessities before you drag a 5-piece Samsonite set around the world. That is hell on earth. I'm not going to tell you to walk around in a robe and sandals scowling at people who have televisions. I hate that Kashi-crunching holier-than-thou stuff. Turning you into a possession-less scribe is not my intention. Let's face it, though. There are tons of things in your home and life that you don't use, need, or even particularly want. They just came into your life as impulsive flotsam and jetsam and never found a good exit. Whether you're aware of it or not, this clutter creates indecision and distractions, consuming attention and making unfettered happiness a real chore. It is impossible to realize how distracting all the crap is, whether porcelain dolls, sports cars, or ragged t-shirts, until you get rid of it. Prior to my 15-month trip, I was stressed about how to fit all of my belongings into a 14-by-10-foot rental storage space. Then I realized a few things. I would never reread the business magazines I'd saved. I wore the same 5 shirts and 4 pairs of pants 90% of the time. It was about time for new furniture, and I never used the outdoor grill or lawn furniture. Even getting rid of things I never used proved to be like a capitalist short circuit. It was hard to toss things I had once thought were valuable enough to spend money on. The first 10 minutes of sorting through clothing was like choosing which child of mine should live or die. I hadn't exercised my throwing out muscles in some time. It was a struggle to put nice Christmas clothing I'd never worn into the go pile, and just as hard to separate myself from worn and ragged clothing I had for sentimental reasons. Once I'd passed through the first few tough decisions, though, the momentum had been built and it was a breeze. I donated all of the seldom-worn clothing to Goodwill. The furniture took less than 10 hours to offload using Craigslist, and though I was paid less than 50% of the retail prices for some and nothing for others, who cared? I'd used and abused them for 5 years and would get a new set when I landed back in the United States. I gave the grill and lawn furniture to my friend, who lit up like a kid at Christmas. I had made his month. It felt wonderful, and I had an extra $300 in pocket change to cover at least a few weeks of rent abroad. I created 40% more space in my apartment and hadn't even grazed the surface. It wasn't the extra physical space that I felt most. It was the extra mental space. It was as if I had 20 mental applications running simultaneously before, and now I had just 1 or 2. My thinking was clearer, and I was much, much happier. I asked every vagabond interviewee in this book what their one recommendation would be for the first-time extended travelers. The answer was unanimous. Take less with you. The overpacking impulse is hard to resist. The solution is to set what I call a settling fund. Rather than pack for all contingencies, I bring the absolute minimum and allocate $100 to $300 for purchasing things after I arrive and as I travel. I no longer take toiletries or more than a week's worth of clothing. It's a blast. Finding shaving cream or a dress shirt overseas can produce an adventure in and of itself. Pack as if you were coming back in 1 week. Here are the bare essentials listed in order of importance. 1. 1 week of clothing appropriate to the season, including 1 semi-formal shirt and pair of pants or skirt for customs. Think t-shirts, 1 pair of shorts, and a multi-purpose pair of jeans. 2. Backup photocopies or scanned copies of all important documents, health insurance, passport, visa, credit cards, debit cards, etc. 3. Debit cards, credit cards, and $200 worth of small bills in local currency. Traveler's checks are not accepted in most places and are a hassle. 4. Small cable bike lock for securing luggage while in transit or in hostels. A small padlock for lockers if needed. 5. Electronic dictionaries for target languages. Book versions are too slow to be of use in conversation, and small grammar guides or texts. 6. 1 broad strokes travel guide. That's it. To laptop or not to laptop? Unless you are a writer, I vote no. It's far too cumbersome and distracting. Using GoToMyPC.com to access your home computer from internet cafes encourages the habit we want to develop, making the best use of time instead of killing it. The Bora Bora Dealmaker, Baffin Island, Nunavut. Josh Steinitz stood at the edge of the world and stared in amazement. He dug his boots into the 6 feet of sea ice, and the unicorns danced. 10 narwhals, rare cousins of the beluga, came to the surface and pointed their 6-foot-plus spiral tusks toward the heavens. The pod of 3,000-pound whales then fell into the depths once again. The narwhals are deep divers, more than 3,000 feet in some cases, so Josh had at least 20 minutes until their reappearance. It seemed appropriate that he was with the narwhals. Their name came from Old Norse and referred to their mottled white and blue skin. Navalr, Corpse Man. He smiled as he had done often in the last few years. Josh himself was a dead man walking. 1 year after graduating from college, Josh found out that he had oral squamous carcinoma, cancer. He had plans to be a management consultant. He had plans to be lots of things. Suddenly, none of it mattered. Less than half of those who suffered from this particular type of cancer survived. The Reaper didn't discriminate and came without warning. It became clear that the biggest risk in life wasn't making mistakes, but regret, missing out on things. He could never go back and recapture years spent doing something he disliked. 2 years later, and cancer-free, Josh set off on an indefinite global walkabout, covering expenses as a freelance writer. He later became the co-founder of a website that provides customized itineraries to would-be vagabonds. His executive status didn't lessen his mobile addiction. He was as comfortable cutting deals from the overwater bungalows of Bora Bora as he was in the log cabins of the Swiss Alps. He once took a call from a client while at Camp Muir on Mount Rainier. The client needed to confirm some sales numbers and asked Josh about all the wind in the background. Josh's answer? I'm standing at 10,000 feet on a glacier, and this afternoon the wind is whipping us down the mountain. The client said he'd let Josh get back to what he was doing. Another client called Josh while he was leaving a Balinese temple and heard the gongs in the background. The client asked Josh if he was in church. Josh wasn't quite sure what to say. All that came out was, yes? Back among the narwhals, Josh had a few minutes before heading to base camp to avoid polar bears. 24-hour daylight meant that he had much to share with his friends back in the land of cubicles. He sat down on the ice and produced his satellite phone and laptop from a waterproof bag. He began his email in the usual way. I know you're all sick of seeing me have so much fun, but guess where I am? Q&A. Questions and actions. It is fatal to know too much at the outcome. Boredom comes as quickly to the traveler who knows his route as to the novelist who is over-certain of his plot. Paul Theroux, To the Ends of the Earth. If this is your first time considering a commitment to the mobile lifestyle and long-term adventuring, I envy you. Making the jump and entering the new worlds that await is like upgrading your role in life from passenger to pilot. The bulk of this Q&A will focus on the precise steps that you should take and the countdown timeline you can use when preparing for your first mini-retirement. Most steps can be eliminated or condensed once you get one trip under your belt. Some of the steps are one-time events, after which subsequent mini-retirements will require a maximum of 2 to 3 weeks of preparation. It now takes me 3 afternoons. Grab a pencil and paper. This will be fun. 1. Take an asset and cash flow snapshot. Set 2 sheets of paper on a table. Use one to record all assets and corresponding values, including bank accounts, retirement accounts, stocks, bonds, home, and so forth. On the second, draw a line down the middle and write down all incoming cash flow, salary, Muse income, investment income, etc., and outgoing expenses, mortgage, rent, car payments, etc. What can you eliminate that is either seldom used or that creates stress or distraction without adding a lot of value? 2. Fear set a 1-year mini-retirement in a dream location in Europe. Use the questions from Chapter 3 to evaluate your worst-case scenario fears and evaluate the real potential consequences. Except in rare cases, most will be avoidable and the rest will be reversible. 3. Choose a location for your actual mini-retirement. Where to start? This is the big question. There are two options that I advocate. A. Choose a starting point and then wander until you find your second home. This is what I did with a one-way ticket to London, vagabonding throughout Europe until I fell in love with Berlin, where I remained for 3 months. B. Scout a region and then settle in your favorite spot. This is what I did with a tour of Central and South America, where I spent 1 to 4 weeks in each of several cities, after which I returned to my favorite, Buenos Aires, for 6 months. It is possible to take a mini-retirement in your own country, but the transformative effect is hampered if you are surrounded by people who carry the same socially reinforced baggage. I recommend choosing an overseas location that will seem foreign, but that isn't dangerous. I box, race motorcycles, and do all sorts of macho things, but I draw the line at favelas, Brazilian shanty towns. See the movie City of God to get a taste for how fun these are. Civilians with machine guns, pedestrians with machetes, and social strife. Cheap is good, but bullet holes are bad. Check the U.S. Department of State for travel warnings before booking tickets. http://travel.state.gov. Here are just a few of my favorite starting points. Feel free to choose other locations. The most lifestyle for the dollar is underlined. Argentina, Buenos Aires, Cordoba. China, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Taipei. Japan, Tokyo, Osaka. England, London. Ireland, Galway. Thailand, Bangkok, Chiang Mai. Germany, Berlin, Munich. Norway, Oslo. Australia, Sydney. New Zealand, Queenstown. Italy, Rome, Milan, Florence. Spain, Madrid, Valencia, Sevilla. And Holland, Amsterdam. In all of these places, it is possible to live well while spending little. I spend less in Tokyo than in California because I know it well. Hip, recently gentrified artist areas, not unlike the Brooklyn of 10 years ago, can be found in almost all cities. The one place I can't seem to find a decent lunch for less than $20 U.S.? London. Here are a few exotic places I don't recommend for vagabonding virgins. All countries in Africa, the Middle East, or Central and South America, excepting Costa Rica and Argentina. Mexico City and United States-Mexico border areas are also a bit too kidnap-happy to make it onto my favorite list. 4. Prepare for your trip. Here's the countdown. 3 months out, eliminate. Get used to minimalism before the departure. Here are the questions to ask and act upon even if you never plan to leave. What is the 20% of my belongings that I use 80% of the time? Eliminate the other 80% in clothing, magazines, books, and all else. Be ruthless. You can always repurchase things you can't live without. Which belongings create stress in my life? This could relate to maintenance costs, money and energy, insurance, monthly expenses, time consumption, or simple distraction. Eliminate, eliminate, eliminate. If you sell even a few expensive items, it could finance a good portion of your mini-retirement. Don't rule out the car and home. It's always possible to purchase either upon your return, often losing no money in the process. Check current health insurance coverage for extended overseas travel. Get the wheels in motion to rent or sell your home. Renting out is most recommended by serial vagabonds, or end your apartment lease and move all belongings into storage. In all cases where doubts crop up, ask yourself, if I had a gun to my head and had to do it, how would I do it? It's not as hard as you think. 2 months out, automate. After eliminating the excess, contact companies, including suppliers, that bill you regularly, and set up auto payment with credit cards that have reward points. Telling them that you will be traveling the world for a year often persuades them to accept credit cards rather than chase you around the planet like Carmen Sandiego. For the credit card companies themselves and others that refuse, arrange automatic debit from your checking account. Set up online banking and bill payment. Set up all companies that won't take credit cards or automatic debit as online payees. Set these scheduled checks for $15 to $20 more than expected when dealing with utilities and other variable expenses. This will cover miscellaneous fees, prevent time-consuming billing problems, and accrue as credit. Cancel paper bank and credit card statement delivery. Get bank-issued credit cards for all checking accounts, generally one for business and one for personal, and set the cash advances to $0 to minimize abuse potential. Leave these cards at home, as they are just for emergency overdraft protection. Give a trusted member of your family and/or your accountant power of attorney. which gives that person authority to sign documents, tax filings, and checks, for example, in your name. Nothing screws up foreign fun faster than having to sign original documents when faxes are unacceptable. This is a serious step and should not be taken with those you do not trust. In this case, it helps because your accountant can then sign tax documents or checks in your name instead of consuming hours and days of your time with faxes, scanners, and expensive international FedExing of documents. 1 month out. Speak to the manager of your local post office and have all mail forwarded to a friend, family member, or personal assistant who will be paid $100 to $200 per month to email you brief descriptions of all non-junk mail each Monday. Get all required and recommended immunizations and vaccinations for your target region. Check the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, www.cdc.gov/travel. Note that proof of immunizations is sometimes required to pass through foreign customs. Set up a trial account with GoToMyPC.com or similar remote access software and take a dry run to ensure that there are no technological glitches. This would be used if you leave your computer at home or in someone else's home while traveling. This step can be skipped if you bring your computer, but that is like a recovering heroin addict bringing a bag of opium to rehab. Don't tempt yourself to kill time instead of rediscovering it. If resellers or distributors still send you checks, the fulfillment house should handle customer checks at this point. Do one of three things. Give the resellers direct bank deposit information, ideal. Have the fulfillment house handle these checks, second choice. Or have the reseller pay via PayPal or mail checks to one of the people you are trusting with power of attorney, far third. In the last case, give the person with power of attorney deposit slips so he or she can sign or stamp and mail in the checks. It is convenient to become a member of a large bank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Washington Mutual, Citibank, etc., with branches near the person assisting you so that they can drop off the deposits while running other errands. No need to move all accounts to this bank if you don't want to. Just open a single new account that is used solely for these deposits. 2 weeks out. Scan all identification, health insurance, and credit debit cards into a computer from which you can print multiple copies, several to be left with family members and several to be taken with you in separate bags. Email the scanned file to yourself so that you can access it while abroad if you lose the paper copies. If you are an entrepreneur, downgrade your cell phone to the cheapest plan and set up a voicemail greeting that states, "I am currently overseas on business. Please do not leave a voicemail as I will not be checking it while gone. Please send me an email at blank@blank.com if the matter is important. Thank you for your understanding." Then set up email autoresponders that indicate responses could take up to 7 days, or whatever you decide for frequency, due to international business travel. If you are an employee, consider getting a quad band or GSM-compatible cell phone so that the boss can contact you. Get a BlackBerry only if your boss will be checking to see if you were working via email. Be sure to disable the dead giveaway sent from a BlackBerry signature on outgoing email. Other options include using a Skype-in account that forwards to your foreign cell phone, my preference, or a Vonage IP box that allows you to receive landline calls anywhere in the world via a phone number that begins with your home area code. Find an apartment for your ultimate mini-retirement destination or reserve a hostel or hotel at your starting point for 3 to 4 days. Reserving an apartment before you arrive is riskier and will be much more expensive than using the latter 3 to 4 days to find an apartment. I recommend hostels for the starting point if possible. Not for cost considerations, but because the staff and fellow travelers are more knowledgeable and helpful with relocations. Get foreign medical evacuation insurance if needed for peace of mind. This tends to be redundant if you are in a first world country and can buy local insurance to augment your own, which I do, and it is useless if you are a 10-hour flight from civilization. I had evacuation insurance in Panama, as it's a 2-hour flight from Miami, but I didn't bother elsewhere. Don't freak out about this. It's just as true if you're in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the United States. 1 week out. Decide on a schedule for routine batched tasks such as email, online banking, etc. to eliminate excuses for senseless pseudo-work procrastinating. I suggest Monday mornings for checking email and online banking. The first and third Mondays of the month can be used for checking credit cards and making other online payments such as affiliates. These promises to yourself will be the hardest to keep, so make a commitment now and expect serious withdrawal cravings. Save important documents, including the scan of your identification, insurance, and credit debit cards, to a small handheld storage device that plugs into a computer USB port. Move all things out of your home or apartment into storage. Pack a single small backpack and carry-on bag for the adventure, and move in briefly with a family member or friend. 2 days out. Put remaining automobiles into storage or friend's garage. Put fuel stabilizer in the gas tanks. Disconnect the negative leads from batteries to prevent drain, and put the vehicles on jack stands to prevent tire and shock damage. Cancel all auto insurance except for theft coverage. Upon arrival, assuming you have not booked an apartment in advance, first morning and afternoon after check-in, take a hop-on, hop-off bus tour of the city, followed by a bike tour of potential apartment neighborhoods. First, late afternoon or evening, purchase an unlocked cell phone with a SIM card that can be recharged with simple prepaid cards. Unlocked means that it is recharged with prepaid cards instead of being on a monthly payment plan with a single carrier, such as O2 or Vodafone. This also means that the same phone can be used with carriers in other countries, assuming the frequency is the same, with a simple switch of the SIM memory card for $10 to $30 US in most cases. Some US-compatible quad-band phones can use SIM cards. Email apartment owners or brokers on Craigslist.com and online versions of local newspapers for viewings over the next 2 days. Second and third days, find and book an apartment for 1 month. Don't commit to more than 1 month until you've slept there. I once prepaid 2 months only to find that the busiest bus stop downtown was on the other side of my bedroom wall. Move-in day. Get settled and purchase local health insurance. Ask hostel owners and other locals what insurance they use. Resolve not to buy souvenirs or other take-home items until 2 weeks prior to departure. 1 week later, eliminate all the extra crap you brought but won't use often. Either give it to someone who needs it more, mail it back to the United States, or throw it out. Tools and tricks. Brainstorming mini-retirement locations. Virtual Tourist, www.virtualtourist.com, the single largest source of unbiased, user-generated travel content in the world. More than 775,000 members contribute tips and warnings for more than 25,000 locations. Each location is covered in 13 separate categories, like things to do, local customs, shopping, and tourist traps. This is one-stop shopping for most mini-retirements. Escape Artist, www.escapeartist.com. Interested in second passports, starting your own country, Swiss banking, and all the other things I wouldn't dare put in this book? This site is a fantastic resource. When our president starts World War III, you'll want to have an escape plan. Drop me a note from the Caymans or jail, whichever comes first. Outside Magazine Online Free Archives. http://outside.away.com. The entire archive of Outside Magazine is available online for free. From meditation camps to worldwide adrenaline hotspots, and from dream jobs to Patagonia winter highlights, there are hundreds of articles with beautiful photos to give you the walkabout itch. Grid Skipper, the urban travel guide, www.gridskipper.com. For those who love Blade Runner-like settings and exploring the cool nooks and crannies of cities worldwide, this is the site. It is one of Forbes' top 13 travel sites and is highfalutin and lowbrow all in the same breath. Fromers. Translation. Much of the content is not G-rated. If four-letter words or a world's sluttiest city poll bothers you, don't bother visiting this site, or Rio de Janeiro, for that matter. Otherwise, check out the hysterical writing and $100 a day for cities worldwide. Lonely Planet, The Thorn Tree. http://thorntree.lonelyplanet.com. Discussion forum for global travelers with threads separated by region. Family Travel Forum, www.familytravelforum.com. A comprehensive forum on, you guessed it, family travel. Want to sell your kids for top dollar in the Eastern Bloc, or save a few dollars and cremate granny in Thailand? Then this isn't the site. But if you have kids and are planning a big trip, this is the place. U.S. Department of State Country Profiles, www.state.gov/r/PA/EI/BGN.
World Travel Watch, www.worldtravelwatch.com. Larry Habegger and James O'Reilly's weekly online report of global events and odd happenings relevant to travel safety, sorted by topic and geographic region, concise and must-see prior to finalizing plans. U.S. Department of State Worldwide Travel Warnings, http://travel.state.gov. Mini Retirement Planning and Preparation, Fundamentals. Round the World FAC includes travel insurance. www.perpetualtravel.com/RTW. This FAQ is a lifesaver. Originally written by Mark Brocious, it has been added to by newsgroup participants for years and now covers nuts and bolts from financial planning to return culture shock and all in between. How long can you afford to be away? Do you need travel insurance, leave of absence, or resignation? This is an Around the World Almanac. U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, www.cdc.gov/travel. Recommended vaccinations and health planning for every nation in the world. Certain countries require proof of inoculations to pass through customs. Get the shots well ahead of time, as some take weeks to order. Tax planning, www.irs.gov/publications/p54/index.html. More good news. Even if you permanently relocate to another country, you will have to pay U.S. taxes as long as you have a U.S. passport. Not to fret. There are some creative legal sidesteps, such as Form 2555EZ, that can provide up to an $80,000 income exemption if you spend at least 330 of a consecutive 365 days off U.S. soil. That's part of the reason my 2004 trip extended to 15 months. Get a good accountant and let them do the detail work to keep yourself out of trouble. U.S.-sponsored overseas schools, www.state.gov/m/a/OS. If the idea of pulling your children out of school for a year or two doesn't appeal, stick them in one of these 185 elementary and secondary schools sponsored by the U.S. Department of State in 132 countries. Kids love homework. Universal Currency Converter, www.xe.com. Before you get caught up in the excitement and forget that 5 British pounds does not equal 5 U.S. dollars, use this to translate local costs into numbers you understand. Try not to have too many, "those coins are each worth $4" moments. Universal Plug Adapter, www.franzus.com. Carrying bulky cables and connectors is irritating. Get a TravelSmart all-in-one adapter with surge protection. The size of a pack of cards folded in half, it is the only adapter that I've used everywhere without problems. Note that it is an adapter, helps you plug things in, but it is not a transformer. If the foreign wall outlet has twice as much voltage as in the United States, your gadgets will self-destruct. Yet another reason to purchase necessities abroad instead of taking them all with you. World Electric Guide, www.kropla.com. Figure out outlets, voltage, mobile phones, international dialing codes, and all sorts of things related to electric mismatching worldwide. Cheap and round-the-world airfare. Orbitz, www.orbitz.com. 400-plus airlines worldwide. This is the starting point for pricing comparisons. Priceline, www.priceline.com. Start bidding at 50% of the lowest Orbitz fare and move up in $50 increments. Seafares, www.seafares.com. Consolidator fares with free and low-cost memberships. I found a round-trip ticket from California to Japan for $500. 1-800-FLY-EUROPE, www.1800flyeurope.com. I used this to get the $300 round-trip from JFK to London that left 2 hours later. Discount airlines for flights within Europe, www.ryanair.com. www.easyjet.com. Free worldwide housing, short term. Global Freeloaders, www.globalfreeloaders.com. This online community brings people together to offer you free accommodations all over the world. Save money and make new friends while seeing the world from a local's perspective. The Couch Surfing Project, www.couchsurfing.com. Similar to the above, but tends to attract a younger, more party-hardy crowd. Hospitality Club, www.hospitalityclub.org.
Meet locals worldwide who can provide free tours or housing through this well-run network of more than 200,000 members in over 200 countries. Free worldwide housing, long-term. Home Exchange International. www.homeexchange.com. 800-877-8723. This is a Home Exchange listing and search service with more than 12,000 listings in more than 85 countries. Email directly to potential homes, put your own home, apartment on the site, and have unlimited access to view listings for 1 year for a small membership fee. Paid housing, from arrival to the long haul. Hostels.com, www.hostels.com. This site isn't just for youth hostels. I found a nice hotel in downtown Tokyo for $20 per night and have used this site for similar housing in 8 countries. Think location and reviews, see hotel chatter below, instead of amenities. 4-star hotels are for binge travelers. This site can offer a real local flavor before you find an apartment or other long-term housing. Hotel Chatter, www.hotelchatter.com. Get the real scoop on this daily web journal with detailed and honest reviews of housing worldwide. Updated several times daily, this site offers the stories of frustrated guests and those who have found hidden gems. Online booking is available. Craigslist, www.craigslist.org. Besides local weekly magazines with housing listings such as Bild or Zitti, no joke, in Berlin, I have found Craigslist to be the single best starting point for long-term overseas furnished apartments. As of this writing, there are more than 50 countries represented. That said, prices will be 30 to 70% less in the local magazines. If you have a tight budget, get a hostel employee or other local to help you make a few calls and strike a deal. Ask the local helper not to mention that you're a foreigner until pricing is agreed upon. Interhome International, www.interhome.com. Based in Zurich, more than 20,000 homes for rent in Europe. Rentvillas.com, www.rentvillas.com, 800-726-6702. Provides unique renting experiences from cottages and farmhouses to castles throughout Europe, including France, Italy, Greece, Spain, and Portugal. Computer Remote Access Tools. GoToMyPC, www.gotomypc.com. This software facilitates quick and easy remote access to your computer's files, programs, email, and network. It can be used from any web browser or Windows-enabled wireless device and works in real time. I have used GoToMyPC religiously for more than 5 years to access my U.S.-based computers from countries and islands worldwide. WebEx PC Now, http://pcnow.webex.com. WebEx, the leader in corporate remote access, now offers software that does most of what GoToMyPC offers, including cut and paste between remote computers, local printing from remote computers, file transfers, and more. Gold Lantern WiFinder, www.goldlantern.com/homepages/wifinder.html. This tiny gadget, smaller than a matchbox, hangs from your keychain and enables you to find wireless internet signals within 300 feet. It saves the uber pain hassle of carrying around a laptop to find signals and even indicates signal strength. Free and low-cost Internet IP telephones. Skype. www.skype.com. I haven't made a non-Skype international call since this free software debuted. It allows you to call landlines and mobile phones across the globe for an average of 2 to 3 cents per minute, or connect with other Skype worldwide users for free. For about €40 per year, you can get a U.S. number with your home area code and receive calls that forward to a foreign cell phone. This makes your travel invisible. Lounge on the beach in Rio and answer calls to your office in California. Nice. Vonage, www.vonage.com. Vonage offers a small adapter that connects your broadband modem to a normal phone. Take it on your travels and set it up in your apartment to receive calls to a U.S. number. International Multiband and GSM Compatible Phones. My World Phone, www.myworldphone.com. I'm partial to Nokia phones. Ensure whichever phone you purchase is unlocked, which means that the SIM card can be swapped out in different countries with different providers. World Electronics USA, www.worldelectronicsusa.com. good explanation of which GSM frequencies and bands function in which countries. This will determine which phone you purchase for travel, and perhaps home. Tools for off the beaten path. Satellite phones. www.satphonestore.com. If you will be in the mountains of Nepal or on a remote island and want the peace of mind, or headache, of having a phone nearby, these phones work via satellite instead of towers. Iridium has been recommended for widest pole-to-pole reception, with Globalstar in second place on three continents. Rent or purchase. Pocket-sized solar panels. www.solio.com. Satellite phones and other small electronics are of little use. Skipping stones, perhaps, if their batteries die. Solio is about the size of two packs of cards and fans out into small solar panels. I was surprised to find that it charged my cell phone in less than 15 minutes, more than twice as fast as a wall outlet. Adapters are available for almost anything. What to do once you get there? Career experiments and more. Transitions Abroad. www.transitionsabroad.com. This is the Motherlode. See Restricted Reading for more details. Meetup. www.meetup.com. Search by city and activity to find people who share similar interests all over the world. Become a travel writer. www.writtenroad.com. Get paid to travel the world and record your thoughts. This is a dream job for millions. Get the inside scoop on the travel publishing world from veteran Jen Leo, author of Sand in My Bra and Other Misadventures, Funny Women Write from the Road. This blog was a Frommer's budget travel top choice and also features great practical articles about going gadgetless and low-tech travel. Teach English, www.eslcafe.com. Dave's ESL Cafe is one of the oldest and most useful resources for teachers, would-be teachers, and learners of English. Features discussion boards and teachers wanted job postings worldwide. Turn your brain into Play-Doh. www.jiwire.com. Travel the world so you can instant message with your friends at home. This site lists more than 150,000 hotspots where you can feed your information OCD. Be ashamed if this becomes your default activity. If you're bored, just remember, it's your fault. I've been there, so I'm not preaching. It happens to the best of us from time to time, but get more creative. Test a new career, part or full-time, www.workingoverseas.com. This encyclopedia is an exhaustive menu of options for the globally minded. It is compiled and updated by Jean-Marc Hachet, the international careers editor of Transitions Abroad magazine, $15 U.S. for one-year access. Worldwide opportunities on organic farms. www.wwoof.com. Learn and then teach sustainable organic farming techniques in dozens of countries, including Turkey, New Zealand, Norway, and French Polynesia. Chat and email in a language you don't know. Free translation. www.freetranslation.com. Translate text from English into a dozen languages and vice versa. Surprisingly accurate, though the lost in translation 10-20% can get you in trouble/fun. Become fluent in record time. Language Addicts and Accelerated Learning. www.4hourworkweek.com. For all things language related, from detailed how-to articles, how to reactivate forgotten languages, memorize 1,000 words per week, master tones, etc., to mnemonics and the best electronic shortcuts, visit www.4hourworkweek.com. Learning languages is an addiction of mine and a skill I have taken apart and reassembled to be faster. It is possible to become conversationally fluent in any language in 3 to 6 months.